Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. It is April 15th, 2019. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is here. Rob Center, as always, our fabulous producer. The busiest man in the world is Mr. Matt Cotrillo over in the newsroom. He's keeping us up to date with road closures, school lists, inches of rain, well, just an inch or so of rain, wind speeds, tornadic investigations, you name it, he's covering it. So he's keeping WKOK.com up to date. And we're going to take a quick break right now. And what I'll do is when I come back, I'll have the refreshed list of road closures and school closures. So we'll just review that list when we come right back here on WKOK. All right, welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us here on
Good morning, Mark.
Super.
I'm turning on my microphone. Thank you. Am I allowed to participate today?
What was your name again?
Joe McGranahan.
All right, I promised
him. Passive-aggressive Lawrence is back with us again.
He's back. Bloomsburg Area School District on a two-hour delay. Danville School District closed. One-hour delay for Lewisburg's Kelly Elementary. Midwest School District on a two-hour delay. Millville School District closed. Milton Area School District a two-hour delay. Penview Christian Academy, 2 hours. Southern Columbia closed. And Upper Dauphin School District is closed. Sections of the Montour County roads are impacted. Fox Hollow Road, Mexico Road, and Strick Road. Mexico Road in Montour County is blocked from Hanson Incorporated to the Northumberland County line. In Northumberland County, there's still ongoing traffic outages on the traffic signal outages on Route 61 at the Shamokin Hospital and the Cameron Bridge. Section of Lower Road and Point Breeze Road are both closed. Intersection of Hoster Road and Elm Road still closed. A Mile Post Road closed. Abbey Lane Road, Hardscrabble Road, Stadium Drive, 15th Street, Hoffa Mill Road, Route 405 at Houselson Road in Northumberland County block, Furnace Road at Ridge Road, and Grand Valley Road in Mifflinburg listed as closed in Union County. Snyder's County still got a section of 235 blocked from 522 to Middle Creek Road. A section of Salem Road, which becomes Pine Street in Sealance Grove, blocked. Quarry Road in Franklin Township is listed as blocked. And a wide range of Columbia County roads, too numerous to mention, but the list is posted at WKOK.com. We'll check that list again as we approach the top of the hour. Did you look out the window and watch the storm this morning?
No, I'm afraid I slept through it. I guess I'm a sound sleeper.
Excuse me?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because at 3 o'clock in the morning, I saw when I got up this morning, there were all sorts of, you know, storm alerts that came in at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, mm-hmm. I'm long asleep at that hour.
You slept through the most near tornadic storm of the year.
Yes, I did.
So did I.
Well, oh, all right, that's crazy.
Yeah, but I had no idea. When I woke up this morning, with tree limbs down and everything, couldn't believe it.
Now, yeah. Let me ask you this. This isn't true for Joe. I know the general idea where he lives. But is your house face the windward side towards the west or the leeward side?
Oh, you had to ask me that, didn't you? I can say we don't get sunshine all that much, maybe a little in the morning.
Okay.
So I'm not sure which way
so
that
yeah,
faces
you're
us.
Facing, yeah, you're facing the east then. So that would give you a little sun in the morning, and then you can't see a sunset from your house, right?
Correct.
Okay, so you're on the other side. So that may have protected you. That may have helped
that
you.
That could very well be.
Our house faces the west, so we could hear the wind. Boy, it sounded like a freight train going down the street.
Well, the prevailing wind where we live is always the same. It comes from the from the east.
That's why they
I'm
call
sorry,
it
the west,
prevailing.
Right.
Oh, well, yeah. Your prevailing winds go from the east in Shamokin Dam.
Well, actually, they come down across Baldwin Boulevard, but I'm trying to think, I guess Baldwin Boulevard runs roughly north-south.
We'll let you work this out while we talk to our audience.
So they come from the north to the south. Maybe they come from the east to the west, but
the
sometimes they're from the south,
the
southeast to the north-northwest.
On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. I turned his mic off.
I know you did.
On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. And toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trotz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome to email us at onthemarket@kokid.com or text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to today's storm update that went out maybe about 7 o'clock or so. Or you can start up a new message at 70236. If you haven't signed up for Text Connect, today's a perfect example. As the 7 a.m. hour approached, we did Text Connect message to everybody. They indicated that some schools were closed and some roads were closed around here with a simple link to WKOK.com. If you think your school or road might have been on that, you can click on that link. And if you weren't too concerned about it, or you weren't, if you're working from home today or have the day off, you didn't necessarily need to know all that info, then you don't have to click on it. So that takes care of that. But that's Text Connect. There's the perfect example. We're going to be talking to U.S. Senator Pat Toomey this morning. He's going to be our first call-in guest. He's got a number of endeavors that he's been working on, and he's also going to talk to us about how the common sense measures that relate to gun laws that could make us safer. He started to talk about another one last week. The no-fly list would be on that in that list. That no-fly list, individuals wouldn't be able to buy a gun. But he has a number of other endeavors.
Are we limited to those topics?
No, he wants to talk about two measures he's pushing to fight the opioid crisis in the U.S.
Okay, I think I would certainly love to hear his opinion of the president's proposal to put the illegal immigrants into the sanctuary cities.
Well, we can ask him that. Bobby, thank you so much for calling in. We started out talking about the storm and the road closures and everything today. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Yes, good morning. Okay, as you know, I'm an engineer, and of course, the engineering department does overnight work, and I decided to stay up and follow the storm. And in Sunbury, here on the hill section, I'm going to say we had a glitch as far as power outage, meaning we didn't have any power outages in that, but we were fortunate where we're at, compared to the other areas, because we're like in the central part, and like we have mountains on, well, I say mountains on either side, so we don't get the effects that some other areas do.
Okay.
And that's that and of course the tower site and everything else, I'm going to offer my engineering services to Sunbury Broadcasting if they ever need any engineer to troubleshoot the situation and keep the station on the air.
All right. Well, we'll keep that in mind. Boy, thank you so much. Thanks, Bobby. Good to see you last week, too.
Yep.
All right. Thank you. That's
thank you.
Bobby Douglas from Sunbury. We appreciate that. Are you okay over there, buddy?
I'm hanging in.
Okay. Good for you. Well, you and Bobby both worked here decades ago, so he knows what he's talking about.
I don't believe he was here when I was, but maybe for a short period of time. In any event, we wanted to talk about. I did want to ask you. You didn't hear the candidates' forum on Friday. You said you didn't get a chance to hear.
No, I was working at the time.
I think they did. Both candidates did an outstanding job, I thought. We had an interesting format. It wasn't a confrontational format at all. It was giving them a chance to answer seriously in a period of 2 minutes as best they could some rather comprehensive questions about how they might act or what they might do in Washington. And we asked them not to address each other, but instead focus on what they think, what they believe, and what they would do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we got a fair amount of good information from the two candidates. And I think that we gave people some food for thought with respect to who they might vote for in the election. Two excellent young men. Both are younger than I am, so I can call them young men. But I was very impressed by both of them, of their performances.
Well, we don't have a recording of it. We weren't allowed to put our mics up there, so we do not have a recording of it. Matt had a brief soundbite that was taken from the PCN microphone that was permitted to be there. PCN was allowed to record it. We were not. So
as I understood it, you were given a takeoff from PCN's audio.
Right, and that was probably deliberately, but horrendous sound quality.
I don't think it was deliberate. They had they were given a device that supposedly would have let everybody take audio off the speaker system at the Country Cupboard, but apparently the Country Cupboard didn't have an output for anything except speakers. So that didn't work. Chris Berlith at the chamber tried to make sure everybody got accommodated. I'm sorry it didn't work out for you.
Well, really, this is sort of a pointless endeavor on their part to say you can't put a microphone on a table in front of a candidate. I know they think, well, you could, they said you can mic the speaker, you can take the mic, the PCN sound out, or you can, you know, just record the ambient sound in the room, but you can't put a mic on the table. Now, whoever heard of that?
Well, I think what they were trying to do was avoid the clutter, because if you let one outlet put one there, then another outlet wants one, and pretty soon we got 35 microphones sitting on the table.
At a Lewisburg news conference, 35 microphones? Come on, Joe.
Well, you know how many people are there.
Now, we were there.
You saw all the people covering
PCN
the event.
PCN was there.
Right. Newspapers were there. Radio stations were there.
The newspapers don't
have microphones. Television stations were there.
Right. One station was there. Yeah, BRE was there. NEP was not
there. No, they were not.
So you're up to four. How do you get to 35 mics?
Well, can you imagine? Well, four times three people is 12 microphones. Sitting up there.
Okay.
That's all pretty right. Big clutter when people are trying to move papers around.
So you think microphones are offensive to a congressman?
No, but neither of these guys are congressmen yet. Well, maybe they're offensive
but
to them.
But don't you think this would be... Well, I don't know. It just seemed so arbitrary to say, okay, we don't want clutter at the only local debate for the U.S. Congress.
Actually, it wasn't a debate. It was a meet the candidates forum.
Right. Well, you can deflect attention all you want. The fact of the matter, it was a terribly run operation. They should have never done
it
that way.
It was very well done.
Well, your part was.
Well,
yeah,
Chris,
but this idea coming up with
the chamber did an outstanding job.
Joe.
Yes.
To bar the media, the radio
Nobody
news
Nobody barred
media.
The media. You were there.
Let me finish the sentence. Don't interrupt me this time. To bar a radio station from recording a congressional debate is arbitrary, capricious, and foolhardy on their part. They could have had a lot of publicity. We would have played that back. We would have done it on Facebook Live. We'd have put it on our website. We might have even played it back on the air. But they missed all that opportunity by not allowing us the opportunity to record it.
We streamed it live.
Matt did hold his phone up and record some of it live. Yeah, but that sound is terrible. So, you know, you try to do things superlatively here, which would be a mindset I developed from you, as I recall, 50 short years ago. But when you arrive there with your equipment and they say, nope, you can't put a microphone in front of a congressional candidate, honestly, come on, Joe. It's indefensible. You know it. Deep down, I know you're a shill for the chamber and PennDOT. And the only private pay chamber member that I know.
No, there are others of us who joined
okay.
individually.
But anyway, I definitely don't want to dwell on this. But suffice to say, that's why no one in the Valley is going to hear the whole debate, unless they watch PCN. I guess there was a broadcast show
yesterday
last
afternoon at 3:30. Right? They had it. I suspect they'll probably run it again. I didn't check their other times and places for it.
Well, yeah, I would love to hear it. That
their production values weren't exactly outstanding either. I mean, it just was a cold open. There was no introduction, no explanation. It was just opened on me sitting there saying, come on up, Fred, and come on up, Mark.
Did the candidates stick with your mindset that they really focus on what they would
do? Yes, they did. They did. And I commended them both at the end of the Meet the Candidates forum for their adherence to the rules, to the time schedule, and to the spirit of the day, which was to generate light, not heat.
Okay.
Now, I think they both did an outstanding job in presenting their views. And I think how you may vote, if you had a chance to hear this, would be determined by their views, because they're both excellent family men. They're both highly qualified. They're both very capable individuals who have achieved a great deal in their careers. In Fred's case, overcoming serious obstacles from his youth, and, you know, Mark's had experiences, too, that put him in a position
they
where he had to...
talked a little about those?
Yeah, the first thing I asked them to do was to introduce themselves. Rather than me sit there and read their bios, I asked them to introduce themselves and explain to everybody who they were, what their background was, their family, their jobs, their career. Both did an outstanding job.
And then
the only person I know ticked off about the whole thing is you.
Oh, no, I think Matt Cotrillo, and I think our audience should be upset. Remember, that this is the only local forum. Now, they do have a TV event coming up, so folks will be able to watch WVIA later and catch them. But, you know, to bar people from recording the only local event, that's, well, it's mismanaged. Well, but in any event, that's fine.
They didn't bar you from recording it. They didn't make it easy for you to record it. Let's be accurate.
All right, we'll argue this later.
Okay.
U.S. Senator Pat Toomey is on the line. Thank you so much for calling in, Senator. We appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having me. Good morning, gentlemen.
I appreciate that. Two elements you're working on that would help fight the opioid crisis in the U.S. I think fentanyl may be the through line through both of those items. Tell us about those measures.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. About 70% of all drug overdose deaths in Pennsylvania, the victim has some elements of fentanyl in their system. It's not always the only dangerous drug, but it is present in 70% of fatalities. So clearly, it's a huge, huge problem. So I've introduced a bill with Doug Jones, a Democrat from Alabama, and this is a bill that would block really any non-humanitarian aid from the U.S. government to a foreign government if that government is not doing all that it can and should be doing to help us bring an end to this scourge. You know, fentanyl is not produced domestically. It's produced, we think, mostly in China, maybe entirely in China. And then it's imported. And we need countries that, whether it's China or any other country, to really crack down on the fentanyl manufacturers. So the bill that I have with Doug Jones would require the State Department to identify countries that are involved in the production or shipment of fentanyl, and then it would cut off any kind of financial aid, including access to the U.S. Export-Import Bank, which even China uses, which is a problem in and of itself, but be that as it may, it would cut that off. The second bill, a separate piece of legislation I've introduced with Senator Schumer, Chuck Schumer, and this is a bill that would require the Treasury to impose sanctions on any kind of business entity that the State Department believes is involved directly in the production. So the first bill goes after governments that tolerate this kind of activity, the production and distribution of fentanyl. And the second bill goes after companies that are actually involved in the manufacturing and distribution of fentanyl.
All right, and so that's at the source level of where the fentanyl comes from. That seems to be a key component of this opioid crisis. At the street level, what's the U.S. Senate working on, and hopefully a bipartisan and eventually bicameral effort, sort of at the street level? What's happening to help people and so on?
So, and you make an important point, and fortunately, as polarized and as partisan as Washington is, the issues of fighting the opioid addiction and overdose crisis, that has not become polarized and is not politicized, and let's hope it doesn't become so. But the answer to the question is, certainly there's no silver bullet that just, you know, allows us to just eliminate the problem of the demand for opioids. I think we've got to fight it with many, many, many levels and many different steps. So, for instance, legislation that would require Medicare and Medicaid to do a better job of watching the volume of prescription opioids, because many people who end up addicted to heroin or using fentanyl actually started with a legal prescription for opioids, in part because we wildly overprescribe these drugs for people. There's also far more resources that we've made available to law enforcement so that they can better break up the drug rings and the drug lords that are responsible for distributing this. There's been a significant increase in funds that we've block granted to the states for the states to then allocate to communities for drug treatment. So people who are, you know, who are wrestling with addiction know that they've got a place to go where they can get better. So it's a combination of all of those things. And frankly, we've got a long way to go. It's still a terrible, terrible crisis, but we're doing everything we can, and I'm personally very much open to suggestion about other things we can be doing.
Where do you think the largest problem lies, Senator? Is it with the demand, or is it with the people trying to market the product?
Well, that's a little bit of a chicken and egg kind of, you know, question. If there is demand, there will always be somebody providing supply. It's not as though, you know, people you know, have billboards and TV ads promoting heroin and fentanyl. So there's obviously, there's a problem on the demand side. And while I'm going to continue to do everything I can to cut off the supply, we also absolutely need to reduce on the demand side. I will say in most counties in Pennsylvania, it appears that this year we're on track so far. Now, I'm qualifying this because obviously we're in April and the year's got a long way to go. But so far, it appears that the numbers of fatalities are down relative to this point last year, maybe even the year before. So hopefully all of these efforts combined are having some constructive effect, but still it is a fact that there's way too many people who are still addicted, way too many fatalities still occurring. So we still have a lot of work to do.
Well, let me ask you this question. I've seen this comment made a number of times. My police department carries naloxone. I think most of the police departments do. And people say, well, why should drug addicts get free treatment when people who suffer with things like diabetes have to pay exorbitant prices for their supplies?
Yeah, I think the short answer is that there's an immediate crisis where someone's life is on the line. And if you don't use the naloxone immediately, that person is going to die. So that I just don't think our society wants to allow people to die when they can be saved. Now, it's true that saving that person does not solve their problem. They're still addicted to opioids, and we need to find a way to get them off that addiction. But at that moment, I don't think many people in Pennsylvania want to say, well, person should have never gotten in this situation, so let's let them die. That's not something.
Well, that's fair enough. Well, let's move on.
That's literally the alternative, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Does. It saves a person's life that is about to die.
And then, of course, there's no guarantee that they'll do something useful with that life after they've been given it back. But That's a risk. Let's talk about gun control again. This is something that keeps coming up. It's come up in the congressional debate we have here going on in our area. Are there common sense, and I know you've worked across the aisle with Senator Manchin in the past, but are there common sense gun laws out there yet to be written, or have we pretty much saturated the field and there's not much more we can do?
I lost you for a second there, but I think I got the gist of the question. And I'll tell you what, the way I look at this is my focus is pretty simple. I'm in favor of making it as difficult as possible for violent criminals and people who are dangerously mentally ill to obtain firearms. And I'm not interested in infringing the rights of law-abiding citizens who are mentally stable and not a threat to anyone. So that's the big divide in my mind. So there are some things we can do, I think, to make it more difficult for the wrong people to obtain firearms. And one is this bill that I've introduced with Chris Coons. Chris Coons is a Democrat from Delaware, and it's a simple idea. You know, the FBI conducts most of the background checks across America, and when somebody applies to purchase a gun, they submit their information to the background check. If that person is a convicted felon and they're forbidden from owning a firearm, but they're committing a new crime just by trying. That's a law in our book. It's against the law if you are a convicted felon and you're barred from buying a firearm. It's against the law to attempt to do so. And yet we never prosecute, not never, but almost never prosecute that new crime that's being committed. So what our legislation does is very simple. It doesn't force the FBI to prosecute, but it does force the FBI to pass on the information that this new crime has been committed to the law enforcement in the state in which the crime was committed, so that if the attorney general of that state decides they wish to pursue it, they'll be able to.
All right, we're gonna stop on the issues of common sense changes in gun laws that would make us safer. We've used that phrase 1,000 times here, and you coined it about 10 years ago almost, trying to get Toomey Manchin through. But we'll talk about those later. One other question for you. The president is toying with this idea of dumping individuals who are in the U.S. criminally, illegally, into sanctuary cities. Your view on that idea?
Yeah, well, so I don't know what the legality of that. I'm not sure exactly what the president has in mind. There's a cost issue. There are a lot of issues. What I think we ought to be doing, first of all, I'm totally opposed to sanctuary cities. I've got legislation, and I've been the tip of the spear in the Senate. We can't persuade my Democratic colleagues to come along with me on this, but the idea that my idea is to discourage and dissuade cities from becoming sanctuary cities by denying, withholding certain categories of federal funding if they choose to endanger all the rest of us by being a sanctuary city. I think we should do that. I think we should combine it with the ability to adjudicate these asylum claims at the border. You know, the vast majority of people that are coming across the border right now, they come and they say they're seeking asylum. The vast majority of them do not qualify for asylum, but it takes us so long to process their request that we end up having to release them in the meantime, and then they never come back for the final adjudication. So we need to speed this up. We need more judges, more facilities, so that we can get this down and reduce this sort of revolving door where people show up at the border and then they're released into the area.
All right, well, literally 1 minute left. We'll give you an open mic. You can talk about any important national issue you wish to discuss in your closing moment here.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm just looking forward to being in your listening region. I'm going to be in Danville today. I'm going to be in Bloomsburg. I'll end up down in Hazleton, and I'm looking forward to this trip, and hoping the weather clears up a little bit. It's a little bit rough right now.
All right. Well, to be continued then. Come and visit us in person. We'd love to explore.
Yes, we'd love to have you join us someday.
In greater detail, all
great.
Of these topics. All right. Thank you. U.S.
Senator
Pat Toomey.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Senator Pat Toomey, of course, calling from our local area. He's going to be in Danville today talking about an important issue, the precise nature of which escapes me. But he'll be in Bloomsburg again. Flood control is going to be at the heart of that
Picked
talk.
A good day to come.
Right, and he'll be at the Autoneum plant, how I pronounce it, the former McGee Reader plant. So he'll be talking to them about that. National-related topics there. So he's in our valley today. Okay. Senator Pat Toomey, common sense measures, changes in gun laws that would make us safer is a phrase he talked about with Toomey Manchin back in the day, and he continues to have a number of ideas. I think they're worth considering, one of which would require enforcement of the law. When you're denied a gun permit, a prosecution would be required. So, and when you're denied, when you lie on the permit application, I should say, not just... they call it deny and try, or try and deny when people try to, you know, they know they're going to get turned away, but they try anyway, hoping to get through. That's a crime. So we'll keep talking about this tornadic weather and AOC back in the news along with President Trump. We're going to continue the discussion. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is here. Mr. Rob's on the other side of the glass. Mr. Matt's keeping me up to date with WKOK.com information on the storm. I'm going to read some of that out loud as part of our news headlines. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. We're going to take a quickie break, and when we return, we're going to have news headlines here on WKOK.
Get outside and clean up the yard.
Yes, dear.
Springtime means cleanup time, even at Sunbury Motors Ford. Sunbury Motors Spring Inventory Cleanup has begun. Once a year, SMC takes their entire new Ford inventory and prices them at levels not seen before. SMC is where you want to be to choose from 44 2019 Ford Escapes. This just in, Ford Motor Company and Sunbury Motors have increased the discounts on 2019 Ford Escapes. They're slashed to the lowest price ever offered to the general public, now at an amazing $18,985. SMC is where you want to be for 2019 Ford F-150s, starting at just $25,899. And SMC has 66 in stock. SMC is where you want to be if you want a brand new 2018 Ford Focus for $14,905. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza.
Today's business doesn't stay in one place, so why should you? Introducing Pentella Data's cloud-based business voice services. Now everyone's connected with unlimited calling, conferencing, and mobile synergy, along with easy upgrades and 24/7 support. So your office is everywhere you are. How you handle it is up to you. Cloud-based voice service from the same people you already trust for all your data needs. Pentella Data. Call or click to find out more.
Today, nearly half our nation's fighting forces are members of the Guard and Reserve. When they are called to active duty, they leave behind a family, a community, and a job. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, a Department of Defense agency, honors and protects the bond between service members and their civilian employers. Whether serving our country or supporting those who do, we all serve. To learn more about ESGR, call 1-800-336-4590. Or visit esgr.mil.
I love spring. Spring flowers, sunny long spring hours, and spring water. Mountain spring water, only from Talpahakan. Talpahakan Mountain spring water is pure, unfiltered, and healthy. Perfect for you to feel energetic during the spring season of renewal. You choose the size bottles you want, how many, and they could be delivered to your home or office. Water coolers and refills always delivered as well. Talpahakan Mountain spring water, Northumberland.
Talpahakan, clean.
You get in your car, start it up, and press the gas. And from your phone, you hear, and you respond. And then in your rear view, OMG, it's a COP. And then you learn that a ticket for texting and driving is nothing to LOL about. You drive, you text, you pay. Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones, Rich Scarsella recaps the Blue-White game today, 3 to 5 News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, Mark Lawrence here. Joe is here. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome throughout our program to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Some very brief news headlines here. Here's a list of school announcements. Bloomsburg School District still on a two-hour delay. Danville School District closed. One-hour delay took place earlier today for the Kelly Elementary School at Lewisburg. Midwest School District on a two-hour delay. The Millville School District is closed today. Milton Area School District is on a two-hour delay. Penview Christian Academy is a two-hour delay. Southern Columbia is 2 hours. Oh, no, check that. Southern Columbia is closed. Sorry about that. And Upper Dauphin School District is now closed. We have the following road closures in Montour County. Fox Hollow Road, Mexico Road, and Strick Road have sections that are closed. Traffic lights still out on Route 61 in Cole Township as you approach Shamokin Hospital and Route 225. Lower Road in West Cameron Township still closed. Lower Road, Breeze Point Road, from Creek Road to Upper Road in East Cameron Township still listed as blocked. Mile Post Road still listed as closed in Northumberland County. Over in Union County, Abbey Lane Road, Hardscrabble Road, Stadium Drive, 15th Street, Hoffa Mill Road, Route 405 at Housel's Run Road, Furnace Road at Ridge Road, and Grand Valley Road in Mifflinburg still listed as closed. In Snyder County, Route 235 from Route 522 to Middle Creek Road in Spring Township blocked. Salem Road is closed, or a section of it is anyway. Quarry Road in Franklin Township. And in Columbia County, we still have sections of Route 42, 239, 487 have some road closures. Too detailed to list, and sometimes multiple road closures listed there. All right, let's look at traffic. So we got 10-minute delays for folks trying to get into Northumberland today. That's a construction delay. So the line starts at the site of the former Celotex plant in Sunbury. It takes 10 minutes to get to Northumberland to go on Route 11 North. And Route 11 South also has about a 2-minute delay trying to get to the Orange Street light. In Danville, we had only minor delays today. They are all cleared out. And we have about a 25-minute delay for motorists on Lewisburg's Market Street and on Route 45 north and south because of that closure of Route 405 over there. So basically that section from downtown Lewisburg to Montandon, gridlock, just a parking lot in that whole section. 20 minutes to get through that if you can get through. Of course, you can't go north on Housel's or Oh, you can't go north on 405 because that's the Housel's Run Road that we talked about. So those are the big gridlock spots around here, Route 45 in and around Lewisburg and Montandon. Sunbury, Route 147 and Route 11 northbound, trying to get into Northumberland. That's a construction delay there. And those are the big, long, thick lines where people are just plain stuck around here. So we'll keep you posted about this and try to let you know when some of those roads open. We still got nearly 18,000 PPL customers. That's the technically a good news because that number was 20,000 overnight, 19,000 this morning. Now 18,000 PPL customers without power, 10,000 in Columbia County, Snyder, Montour, and Northumberland County, about 2,500, and just 600 in Union County. So PPL is doing that. National Weather Service says a 46-mile-per-hour sustained wind was clocked at Penn Valley Airport near Sealands Grove. Rainfall amount slightly less than an inch. Possible tornado investigation underway in East Chillisquaque Township, Northumberland County, near the intersection of Mexico Road and North Mill Road. That whole section of Northumberland County had extensive damage. And I would venture a guess you're going to find out that it's nearly a tornado touched down in that area north of Montandon and made its way into the heart of upper Northumberland or upper Columbia County in the Benton region. That is the line of the worst damage and the worst outages in the blocked roads around here. We'll keep you up to date. Some of this is likely to evolve, and when that happens, we will let you know. All right.
Okay.
One of our good listeners sends us a note about Senator Toomey.
He says, Senator Toomey is wrong about the number of immigrants who show up for court after being released. According to the Justice Department, 60 to 75% follow the law. Toomey watches too much fake false noise. Also, why do Republicans... I said noise.
Oh, it sounded like Fox. Or false.
Fox noise. No, I said Fox noise, I thought. Also, why do Republicans fear people of color? Oh, yeah, Trump leads the false fear.
All right, what do you think about President Trump is interested in dumping illegal immigrants into sanctuary cities?
I don't like the word dumping, but, you know, let's analyze this for a minute. I got a big kick out of Governor Newsom of California when this came out, saying, well, that would be illegal. Well, coming into the country without permission is illegal, too.
Why don't we just stipulate that nothing's illegal anymore?
Well, you know, I think that it's asking people to put their money where their mouth is. The people in these sanctuary cities and states have said, you know, this is we're not going to cooperate with efforts to remove these people. And I think the president's plan is a reasonable one. Why should those of us who believe the law should be followed and not, you know, allow unfettered illegal immigration to continue, why should we pay the bills for the cost? I mean, isn't it like anything else? It's a user fee. You want to have a bunch of illegal immigrants coming into the country, then you should be willing to support them.
Okay, so you have an individual who comes to the U.S. seeking asylum.
Well, asylum is a touchy thing. If they're really seeking asylum, I'm in full support of giving them every
protection.
So you
think people are people then, but they stop being people.
No,
they become criminals if they're just
I didn't
here
say
to
they
work.
Were – well, they are criminals from the standpoint that they broke the immigration
right, right,
laws.
No
that doesn't
there.
Mean they're criminals generally. You know, I love how you folks on the left turn
oh,
that.
Listen to this. Oh, my gosh. Yes, it's just us using harsh platitudes to describe the other term. Excellent point. Thank you. I'll stop doing that.
I would appreciate
that,
it.
That should pretty much take care of the
really
left.
It's really beneath you, you know.
Is there anyone else we know that uses harsh platitudes? He has
not
orange
me.
Hair.
Anyway.
But seriously, you look at the cost involved here for illegal immigration, and I think, who was it that quoted, I think Fred Keller may have quoted, I forget who it was, that said we have to keep the door closed to illegal immigration so we can keep the door open for legal immigration. And I think that's a very good point. Yes, this is a country of immigrants, and yes, we should be welcoming to immigrants, and yes, we should have a policy that allows them to enter the country freely and fairly. But we should not allow unfettered access to people who we don't know, whom we can't verify, and who just come across the border illegally. And if some of these states and cities say that it's wrong to do that, then why should we pay the freight when they're more than willing to pay it? Or they say they are.
Okay, so you have a human being who comes to the U.S. illegally. So, of course, we'll use your standard. That means they behaved criminally. They may not be a criminal in all of their life, but at that moment, they become a criminal in the U.S. because you're not allowed to cross illegally, and they're looking for a job or a better life. Let's assume that they're not a courier for drugs or that kind of thing. I think some small percentage of individuals arriving in the U.S.
Some small percentage
qualify.
Of any group is bad, but that doesn't mean that the majority of them
are. So they're coming to the U.S. Of course, they're looking for a better opportunity. Some have families in tow. Some do not. They wish to be anchors. They get caught here. They're captured, arrested for whatever reason, and they're in custody. This is a human being. You think the best way to treat them is to take them to a sanctuary city and to drop them off at an intersection.
Well, I don't think we should drop them off at an intersection. I think we should
take
them
to these, wants to do.
These facilities that these cities. No, he said he wanted these cities, the sanctuary cities, to take care of them in the best possible manner.
Okay. Well, do you know what a sanctuary city really is?
Yes, I think I have a concept.
So describe the population of individuals who are in that city.
Well, you know, let me first say what Cher tweeted this morning, and she's not known for being a far right winger, but she's talking about all the number of people in Los Angeles who are living on the streets who are homeless. They have no hope. They have no place to go.
Right. Los Angeles has a massive homeless
problem. Okay. And her point was, if we can't take care of our own, how can we take care of others? And I think as citizens of the United States, we have an obligation to take care of our own people before we open the doors to unfettered illegal immigration, and we support people who have contributed nothing to our society, who have no vested interest in our society.
But still, even with having said that, you still think the best thing to do with these people is to dump them in
Philadelphia? No, I didn't say it was the best thing. I think it's probably not a very good idea at all. But I think it forces the people in these sanctuary cities, the leadership of these sanctuary cities, to put up or shut up.
Well, I think that's one way to look at it. But what a sanctuary city really is, and I'm going to use Philadelphia as the example, and the mayor has been very outspoken
on this. We've seen him singing and dancing over his delight at being a sanctuary city.
Well, here's the rub. He's trying to defend individuals who are productive, working, housed individuals who live in that city who came to the U.S. illegally and are not U.S. citizens. He's not doing it so that more people can go on welfare or their jails get full or so that more people can be homeless. He's talking about protecting the communities of individuals who are from Mexico or other parts of Central America, any of the Mexican countries down there.
He's trying to
make sure that these individuals who are productive Philadelphians can stay there and don't have to be deported, much the way we think of individuals who might be working around here who came to the U.S.
But the way to address
legally,
that is with a common...
We don't want them deported.
The way to address that is for the Republicans and the Democrats to sit down and come up with a plan that works. Now, I know the Republicans Well, the Republicans typically don't want amnesty, and the word amnesty rings very badly with a lot of people on the right.
It's a dog whistle.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it is.
No, but it's a dog whistle for the left, not the right.
But on the other hand, you know, we cannot physically and reasonably expel 10 or 11 million people from this country in any kind of a cohesive manner, and it would have a tremendously negative impact on the economy of the country. So I'll concede all that. And I think there has to be some way, I don't want to call it amnesty because people don't like that, but there has to be some way, if we close the borders, if we stop the illegal immigration, there has to be some satisfactory way to handle those who are left, who are here illegally, but who have, as you point out, contributed to our society. They work in our society. They pay their taxes.
Many of whom have. They're, you know, again, they're not all, but I don't think we have all the individuals who are homeless in Los Angeles aren't illegal.
They are U.S. citizens. That was Cher's point. These are people that are
a massive veterans issue associated with homelessness in urban areas also.
So let me ask you this. If we have a finite amount of resources, let's say we have 100%, we can take care of people who live in this country who are homeless, who are ill-fed, ill-clothed, ill-housed, and don't have proper medical care. We can take care of them, or we can let in a whole bunch of other people from south of the border or from wherever else. And I understand there are people coming across the southern border from a lot of other countries, not just from the three Mexican countries.
Yeah, Mexico is the least of it. It's Honduras and Guatemala.
So we have that 100%. We can take care of one problem or the other. We can't take care of both. Where do we allocate the money?
Well, if it were that easy, I think it would be easier for Americans to choose, well, let's take care of us first. You hear that all the time. But that cannot be done.
Why not?
It's a false equivalency. I can't believe you asked that. Plus,
why is it a false equivalency?
Well, because you just can't take the government. They are incapable of serving Americans in a truly productive and
Who,
helpful
the government?
Yes.
Okay.
In manner. I mean, look. Here's a classic example. They own the VA, okay? So here's government really has one job. Take good care of individuals who have served in our U.S. Armed Forces and individuals particularly who have service-related injuries. They can't do it without corruption, failing hospitals, lengthy, long time. So you're saying that somehow if we allocated our resources correctly and we didn't have the problem of illegal immigration, then somehow our government could help take care of us. And I think as you and I sit here at the table, we can say that it's possible, but in reality, our government could never do it. So
but that's the contract we made with our veterans. We offer them
for
these
the
services.
In the VA example.
Right.
Okay.
We've put them out there. We've said, you serve your country, you come back, and we'll take care of you. But that's not what we're doing. But, you know, to say that the government has failed in its entirety, then on the same breath, you want the government to take on things like single-payer health care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the government has screwed up everything else, why do you want to let them screw up health care?
I'm not an advocate of Medicare for all. All right, let's take
You look like one to me.
Well, okay, I may look it, but I aren't it. So, Joe says it is a good idea to dump illegal immigrants who have...
There you go, characterize. I didn't say the word dump.
What's the right word?
I said the illegal immigrants should be placed in sanctuary cities, as the president has suggested.
Despite the fact that he's also on the other side of the same mouth advocating for sound government policy as it comes to immigration, and we know, of course, our... government will never be able to do that. We got texts on this.
Yes, we have several.
We do not have any emails on it, so if you wish to send us one on this topic, do so now. On the mark at WKOK.com is the email address, so send us a note on this topic. Joe says it is not a good idea, but it is an acceptable solution to dump... to gently place individuals in the U.S. illegally in sanctuary cities. Of course, the sanctuary cities say that is not why we are sanctuaries. We're not sanctuaries for people just cross the border and we're looking for something. We're sanctuaries for individuals who are in the U.S. illegally, who are part of our community.
Well, anyway, let me ask you this quickly.
No. This is the lead up to the break. Or
but
I
you're
say
taking a long time
it
to lead
is
up.
President Trump doing what he does best, and that is defeating all elements of human dignity and dumping people wherever he wants to get rid of.
And as a further lead into the break, if the President of the United States believes that these people should be placed in sanctuary cities rather than have the rest of the country absorb the cost, why is that wrong?
Call us now. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. It's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. They invite you to shop at the local Hometown Pharmacy because they know every dollar spent locally gets locally spent 10 times over. In other words, if you don't buy something online or you don't go to the big box store and you instead go to Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Norrie Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, or Shade Mountain Pharmacy, you're having an impact on your local community. Now, if you would like a CEO to have more nicer homes on the Cayman Islands or offshore or wherever a CVS CEO sends his money, you can do that. But if you'd like Steve at the Norrie Pharmacy or Jennifer at Bloomsburg Medicine Shop and her staff and Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy and Tyler at Trutz and Terry at Shade Mountain to raise up the local community with your dollar, and you're paying the same amount, only this time you get super personalized service. Go to the Hometown Pharmacy instead.
Hometown, such a warm and friendly word. A place of comfort, confidence, and friendship. And as the song goes, everybody knows your name. In today's culture of fast food service and big box mentality, it's nice to know that we can still rely on the warm and friendly comfort of Hometown Pharmacy. There's one near you. Friendly, knowledgeable staff that not only know you by name, but know your meds and know what's best for you, right down to the over-the-counter meds for those quick day-in, day-out situations that may arise. Your Hometown Pharmacy. that hometown feel that we all want. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. In Mifflinburg, it's Trutz Pharmacy on Chestnut Street. Bloomsburg, it's the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street. And the Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Your hometown is calling you. Your independent hometown pharmacy. Every season, every day.
Welcome back. On the Mark, WKOK Radio. Give us a call, 1-800-795-9565. That's our toll-free hotline number brought to you by the Hometown Pharmacies. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com. The entire program brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. And by golly, do we ever have quite a few texts to read to you this morning. One says, common sense is enforcing the laws in existence now. More laws won't change anything. There are laws against murder now. Enforce the laws now. Then please tell us, Mark, how an illegal can be a productive member of society. If they're working, they are committing fraud because they have no Social Security number, which is required to work and pay taxes. Do you wish to respond?
I do not know how they do it. Yeah, that is a perfectly good question. I do not know the answer to that. I see how you would call it fraud. I think what they're also doing is, what some individuals do is they have a illegal number or a made-up number, and somehow that doesn't get caught.
Well, it should. What's the IRS doing?
But I don't know that answer.
All right. Then another one says, absolutely give the sanctuary cities what they want. Lots of illegals. No matter how you parse it, if a person crosses the border illegally, they are a criminal. And then Joe is too polite to say dump illegals on sanctuary cities, but I'm not. Dump away. And finally, Obama dumped all kinds of refugees all around the country, setting up the problems we have in certain areas.
Nothing could have led to Stan texting any faster if I had gone there and used his phone to text it myself. So
I appreciate
that.
They were all from him, but I didn't see the
I think they
the
were.
Side sheet.
I think they were.
In any event.
Some were, anyway.
Okay. But, you know, the president of the United States has a difficult situation. He has been pointing out that there is a problem at the border. And even some Democrats now are admitting that it is a crisis at the border. And something has to be done about it. And yet nothing is being done about it. Nancy Pelosi and I think the Democrats have an obligation to work across the aisle with Mitch McConnell and the Republicans to get something done and that works for the American people, that guarantees that you
Sorry.
All right over there?
I dropped my phone.
That guarantees that people who want to enter this country legally can do so, you know, and what they contribute or what they bring in should certainly be taken into consideration. And we need to stop this hemorrhaging across the border. There's no other way around it. We cannot. The president says the country is closed. We're full. Well, I don't buy that. I don't think we're full. I hope we're never full, especially if there are people who are genuinely having human rights abuses imposed upon them. You know, we need to do something about that. But I would say the problem is best addressed in the countries where the people live right now. You know, if we can solve some of those problems, let's do it. But then you have other people saying, oh, we're nation building. We shouldn't be involved in that. Well, here's the alternative. If we don't help build nations, if we don't help guarantee people have peace and security where they live, why would you blame them for wanting to come where they might be able to get it? I wouldn't.
Right. Even if it means going into that country illegally, there's a chance that you'll be accepted and can stay.
But
there's a chance you'll be able to find a job and remain illegal, but you'll still be better off.
The overwhelming majority of them now, as I understand it, and I may be wrong, but I've seen several reports in more than one outlet saying that the majority of people that are coming across the border now are claiming asylum, but really are more interested in the economic impact. And there have been a number of instances reported recently where men are coming across with minors whom, when they are questioned, finally admit that the minors have no relationship to them. You know, so apparently kids
so
are being used as
kids.
Pawns. Right. You know, there's someone saying, oh, the president's using illegal immigrants as pawns. Well, some of the illegal immigrants are using children as pawns. I mean,
there's
just
a
can't
difference.
Let this go on.
There's a difference between, I guess he's not a father if he's got the kids there that don't belong to him. But there's a difference between a human being who is in at least bad circumstances and maybe dire circumstances coming here for an economic opportunity and the potential for a new life. Then that is a dire situation that, you know, that there's a certain element of desperation. Now, I don't think every illegal who's coming in here is definitely desperate, but I do think there's an element of, you know, you're not doing well in your country and you have an opportunity here. That's a far cry from what the president is talking about, where you take these individuals and dump them in cities, which I am shocked that that's even legal. So I know the president doesn't really bother with, you know, checking the legality of things before he talks about them. So then maybe this will never get off the ground.
Well, do you think there's a law somewhere that says if illegal immigrants come into the country and we have to turn them loose because there's a court date that we have to put, where do we put them? Do we let them sit on the border?
In some. There,
or do we spread them out?
I think some people in the U.S. illegally wait free, you know, not in custody while they await
hearings. That's what I'm saying. So where should they do that? Should it be in the border towns where they came across? Should those communities pay the price?
But I think if you take them to sanctuary cities and gently drop them off at sanctuary cities, I think that's a far cry from the individuals who are in the sanctuary cities who are living. You have individuals in neighborhoods where there might be a high number of Hispanic individuals, but it's a productive neighborhood of people who are, well, I'm going to use the phrase, near citizens. They're citizens who are working.
Well, I'd like to know what a near citizen is.
They're paying taxes. They're doing sort of the
fraudulently,
same.
Fraudulently, according to our texter.
Well, I don't see how that couldn't be a true comment. Stan's remark that they have to commit some fraud to work productively in the U.S., on the books anyway.
Right.
In which case, if they're working off the books, then they're not paying taxes. And that's not right.
And they in some states they're being allowed to vote. They're being issued driver's licenses. They're enjoying some of the privileges of citizenship, and when they are not citizens.
It's not the right way to treat a human, to gently place them in cities scattered around the communities.
Why not?
Particularly if there aren't immigration courts there. So you're going to take an individual family, a man with children who aren't related to him, and place him gently in Philadelphia. There's no immigration court in Philadelphia. You know, there are
How do you know?
Well, they're near the borders, so because that's not where
they're
located.
A judge can go anywhere, and I thought they.
Well, could take a judge up to meet some of these individuals in Philadelphia. I guess that could.
There's no shortage of courtrooms in Philadelphia.
Right. It seems like a strange way to go about it. But if that's the way the president does it, it's beneath human dignity to dump people in sanctuary cities just because they're
beneath human dignity. Oh, Explain that, please.
Well, because you have a human being. You know, I know they're a criminal, and so they don't have precisely the same.
Well, don't you think the people in the sanctuary cities would want to care for them and see that they were provided for?
I think that will happen. I think they will be welcomed in sanctuary cities if the president goes through with this.
Okay.
Because that's human nature. It is inhumane to take people and use them as this little political dropping off point where you just take them to the city. Let me stop here. I think we both said our sides on this. And literally,
I have more to say.
Oh, baloney. You're the most talkative guy on this show. Why is it just us? Why doesn't anybody, other than Stan, who cares deeply about his country?
There were a lot of power outages. Maybe most of our listeners are in affected
areas.
They're
worried about other issues. We know we have people waiting on Route 405 in Montandon area, and they have nothing to do but to listen on the radio.
Right. So, call us from your cell phone.
Let's do that. We're going to take a quick break. So let's lead up to it with these words. If you would like Joe and I to continue arguing this topic or discussing this topic, give us a buzz now. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. If you'd like to weigh in on this topic, this is the president's dumping of, gently placing individuals who've been captured in the U.S. and have at least temporarily exhausted all of their legal remedies, placing them gently in sanctuary cities around the U.S. Of course, Philadelphia is the nearest one. Pittsburgh would be the next one within our state. And, of course, they're all over the U.S., I think 300-some at last count, so they would be distributed evenly. There are other topics we can discuss if you do not wish to weigh in on this. The number to call, definitive pivot point here on the show, we either continue this topic or stop it, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And you can text us. Stan's texts are not enough to sustain the whole show, so we'll need more than just his texts. We very much appreciate them, but we'll need more is information that's sent through the TextConnect system to 70236.
We upgrade all the time.
My computer.
My TV.
My phone.
Isn't it time you upgraded your vehicle?
Upgrade your trade now at Sunbury Motors Kia.
I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
It's the second annual Upgrade Your Trade event. Now is the time because SMC is making it easier than ever with above market value for your trade. Plus, save $4,500 on a 2019 Kia Sorento LX. Now just $26,415. A 2019 Kia Optima S has $4,000 in savings. Now only $22,910. And SMC is still offering a $99 a month lease on a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just 36 months. And all include Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. It's the second annual Upgrade Your Trade event at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Leases for 36 months, 10,000 miles per year. No security deposit required. Tax and tags extra. Offers expire 4/30/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565. Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. If you'd like to weigh in on this, one of our good listeners sends us a text that says, Mark, a near citizen is someone who played by the rules, spent the money, and came here as a legal immigrant with the green card. Illegals, which I won't use that, illegal people are not near citizens. They are criminals.
Why won't you say illegals are not near citizens?
A person is not defined by the best or the worst act.
But that's their current status, Mark.
It's like calling you COO everywhere you go, no matter what. And the COO, Joe, is here.
But that's what I was. That's not
right.
What I am.
Right.
What they are is an illegal immigrant.
Exactly.
Their status hasn't changed. They are still illegal immigrants.
Right. And what these individuals are people, and what they have done is illegal. They are not illegals. They are people who have done something illegal.
Hence, they are illegals.
In your lack of human dignity shorthand, I guess. You're right. Than, you are on the mark. Thanks for waiting. Go right ahead.
Oh, my. I'm nearly going crazy here. I don't think Joe has ever heard of empathy. There's a word that you can look up in the dictionary that might be a tough one, but it's called empathy. And it has to do with how we think of other human beings. Now, number one, yes, I agree with Mark. We don't throw, or we should not, I guess we do. We should not throw individuals into cages. We should not throw individuals into what you call sanctuary cities. Sanctuary cities are for a different reason, which if you paid attention to what's going on, you would know. And I think we need to have people, we need to turn things around so we understand that people are actually people and not the bottom line on a 401k. And that really upsets me. Hearing people say, I am a Christian with Christian values, and I want to throw everybody in jail who comes in our country because they're illegal, is just not the America that I thought we had throughout my upbringing.
Well, it's not the America that we had. It's also not the religion that they're supposed to have. I mean, immigrants are talked about repeatedly throughout the Bible as somebody who's supposed to be aided, not dumped upon. So it's a little bit different. It's hard to believe.
I've noticed, and I follow this closely because I've always been a person who likes to figure out what religion is all about and that sort of thing. I guess that religion doesn't mean much. What is really important to a good Christian is how much money you make. Doesn't matter who you step on to make it. And that's very upsetting for people like me who believe we should be living in a country where everybody is valuable. Nobody is called illegal, and we should be welcoming to people who really need it. Yes, that's a problem. What we need is more judges at the border, not more people going to sanctuary cities. Obviously, sanctuary cities were never formed for that reason. The fact that Joe doesn't understand that is too bad. but they were formed to protect the citizens of that city, as I understand it.
Right. They were supposed to make the city safer. Well, isn't that a safe place where these folks should go? They're safer in a sanctuary city than they are somewhere else, right?
Don't tell me you don't understand that Donald, well, let's call him Fat Donnie. Fat Donnie is putting people in those cities as retribution because he doesn't like what they do, and as supreme ruler, he feels he can do anything he wants to.
Well, wouldn't you say that same logic applied to the mayors and the governors of sanctuary cities and states who believe they can tell you that the law doesn't apply to them?
Well, yeah, because after all, they are individual states and cities. And I believe if you looked at the Constitution, I know you know where to find that, you will find that we kind of allow cities and states to do some of their own thinking.
But not change the laws of the country, Than. They can't do that.
Well, they do because they're protecting their city, and they can prove it in court that it's a good thing to do.
Well, then that's a good thing to put the illegal immigrants there because they're safer there, right?
As retribution.
No, not as retribution, to protect them.
Oh, come now.
Well, you're saying they're safe there.
Something besides Fox News.
You're saying they're safer there. I love it. You say that, oh, they have the right to protect their community by breaking the law, and other people have the right to come into the country breaking the law, but the people who say we want the laws enforced, they're somehow bad.
Listen, sometimes, Joe, actually spend some time and read the articles, real articles, not stuff out of your right-wing stuff, but real articles about why there are sanctuary cities. And you'll find it's not a silly idea. It's a life-saving idea.
Yes, I thought the mayor of Philadelphia singing and dancing when he became a sanctuary city, that certainly wasn't silly.
You're trying to make him sound silly because he did something that you think is silly. I'd be very happy if I found out we lived in a sanctuary city. I would know we understand that Bible teaching that, you know, I can't quote, but it has to do with being nice to other people.
Are you talking about the golden rule?
Gone out the window.
Well, you see, that's the difference between you and me. I have compassion for these people, despite the fact you always call in and say I'm insulting you, and yet you told me I have no empathy, I don't understand, I don't hear, I don't read. It's impossible in your world that I might have formed a different opinion than yours by adequate research, because your research led you in a different direction. Therefore, you're right and I'm wrong. But I don't buy that. I think you have a valid opinion. I just disagree with it. And I disagree with it because I believe in the rule of law. This is a country of laws, not men. When we start saying that any individual can circumvent the law, any individual is above the law, whether it's the President of the United States or an illegal immigrant, then we have a breakdown in society that's not going to do any of us any good.
Well put. However, that doesn't answer the problem of why are there sanctuary cities when, let's say it is against the law, I suspect it might be. Why are they there? The cities are not breaking the law to do something bad. If they're breaking the law, it's to do something good. And I suspect there are people who will tell you that maybe that's not a bad idea.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much, Than. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Than.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Please help me.
You need it, brother, and I'd be happy to help you anytime.
All right, 1-800.
Take care, Than.
All right,
thanks, Mark.
We've got a caller waiting, and we got a bunch of texts again, so we're going to take one uses the phrase TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. So we're going to talk about that very shortly. Last break of the morning. Stand by.
Get outside and clean up the yard.
Yes, dear.
Springtime means cleanup time, even at Sunbury Motors Ford. Sunbury Motors' spring inventory cleanup has begun. Once a year, SMC takes their entire new Ford inventory and prices them at levels not seen before. SMC is where you want to be to choose from 44 2019 Ford Escapes. This just in, Ford Motor Company and Sunbury Motors have increased the discounts on 2019 Ford Escapes. They're slashed to the lowest price ever offered
to the general public. Now at an amazing $18,985. SMC is where you want to be for 2019 Ford F-150s, starting at just $25,899. And SMC has 66 in stock. SMC is where you want to be if you want a brand new 2018 Ford Focus for $14,905. Hurry into Sunbury Motors Ford in the Northwest Street Auto Plaza.
Got one call coming in, one waiting, and then Chris is, no, two people waiting and one coming in. We have to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out lots more about them at sunburymotors.com. Visit the Quick Lane. They specialize in all types of vehicles there. Nitrogen, they'll pump you up with nitrogen. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 6:30 to 2. sunburymotors.com is their website. You can check out the Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln cars and trucks at sunburymotors.com. Lance, thank you for calling. We got another caller waiting after you, but you have the floor. Go right ahead.
Okay, I'll make it as brief as I can. The mayors that I heard on the radio on the various channels talked about what a boon the illegals in their city were to their economy, to their safety, that they were just wonderful to have. And now all of a sudden, they're not.
Well, I think that I tried to explain to Joe. He didn't get it, and I'll explain it to you. There's a big difference between somebody who's assimilated into your community, even though they're in the U.S. illegally, who is a productive citizen, who's working and is housed and is complying with all laws except the biggie, that you're not here with permission. There's a big difference between that and somebody who snuck into the country and the federal government is done with them, and so they gently place them in your community against your will. There's a major difference there. I'm sorry you don't see it. It doesn't surprise me that Joe doesn't, but
hold it.
I expect... Go ahead.
Well, those folks you're talking about that are, you know, the productive folks... Well, that's how they got there, wasn't it? I mean, they came in, they were illegal, the whole thing, and they assimilated.
They weren't dumped by the U.S. government. I would think in most cases, anyway. I probably have been placed there by the government in some cases, though.
Okay, and also, all this kindness, compassionate altruism that comes pouring from the left right now for, you know, those illegals. Where was it that fully formed human being in New York State, there, when they said, what do you do with one that has survived an abortion? Well, we kill him.
You mean the non-viable kids that they want to do, sort of the post-birth abortion on the non-viable children, right?
You're not saying they're non-viable.
No, they're viable. Doggone it. If the idea was to have an abortion in the first place, okay, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter whether that kid is viable or not. You read that thing.
Okay.
And they lit up the skyscrapers to say that we can do this. Well, I don't trust people like that any further than I can tow a locomotive.
All right. We got you, Lance. Last word on this topic. Go right ahead. Go ahead. Oh, okay.
That was the last word.
No, I didn't. Maybe he perceived that's what I was saying to him. That is not what I meant to say. Chris, go right ahead.
Yeah, well... I guess it's Joe having his derangement syndrome again.
Anti-Trump. No, he's post-Trump or positive.
Yeah, he's making all sorts of arguments he'd never make if Trump wasn't president, so that's pretty deranged. But in any case, the safety, first of all, they aren't illegal if the government's putting them there. So there's no comparison at all.
How do you come up with that that assertion?
Because the government placed them in the sanctuary city. The government takes them there.
They're people who are here asking for asylum. Those are the ones who got placed. They're here illegally.
No, we're talking about the illegal aliens coming across the border.
No, you were talking about who Trump wants to place in America, in the cities. Those are the ones that they don't have the right to kick out, so therefore they're here illegally, right?
No, that's false reasoning.
No, it's not false reasoning. If they could kick them out, they could. They can't keep them in
But they're
in
jail
for indefinitely, and they have to put them somewhere. Therefore, they put them in cities and ask them to come to the court hearing.
But then why don't
that's
we do this,
legal,
Chris? Chris,
Joe,
why don't we?
That's legal.
Why don't we do this, Chris? Why don't we just take them and put them back across the border then? That would be the simplest thing. We catch them. Why do we have to let them into the country?
It's not legal. It's not following the law.
Well, neither is coming into the country illegally following the law. You want to follow some laws, but not others.
But that's not what you're talking about in this case.
Yes, it is. It's exactly what I'm talking about in this case.
If they come to the border asking for asylum, that's here legally.
But we're not talking about the asylum seekers. We're talking about the people who cross the border illegally.
That's who he's talking about dumping on the cities, Joe.
Chris, pay attention, Chris. You're reading the wrong stuff.
Chris, call
no,
us.
I'm not. You are.
Chris, you're going to be the caller at 8:32 tomorrow.
Yes. You know, have him clean out his ears or something.
He's got beans
in
his ears.
And then, hey, tell us what's going on Montandon, because you're always giving misinformation.
Sorry about that.
You said 405 is in Montandon. You haven't said what the roads are.
This is WDK, okay, Sunbury.
Yeah, so there.